Architect Paul Volcker said his firm was done with design development for the new library, which moves the project into the last phase of planning.
What that means is you've actually started the final push toward getting the documents finished, and the majority of the work that's happened since you last saw me is actually done by the engineers.
The engineers added the mechanical, electrical, and structural details to the design. The last phase will be finishing the final plans for construction. The actual look and layout of the building has not changed much since Volcker's last met with the community in November. It's a fairly simple one-story gable roof building with about 9,400 square feet inside. It's situated at an angle just off the corner of Haugen and 2nd Street where the Romead building currently sits. It has pedestrian paths, a 20-space parking lot, and a curving driveway with vehicle access off 2nd. The structure is set back on the lot with plenty of green space between the building and the roads, and the rear of the building looks out on Woods and Hammer Slough. The entranceway has a high roof with double glass doors at the center of the building.
Covered canopy comes to about here. You can see some big external columns with the roof area. An Arctic entrance that's semi-heated. And then you come in through an inner set of doors, and then we have benches, coats, places to put kid boots and that kind of thing.
Entering the foyer, the glass-enclosed children's area is to the right and visible from the circulation desk and staff offices to the left. Continuing into the building, you look out on the main stacks, which are on a slightly lower level that's accessed by a curving ramp on one side and stairs on the other. There's a variety of seating areas as well as a large meeting room. After scaling back the project due to cost, the building committee settled on this more basic design in 2008. They've had multiple public meetings to refine it since then. This time around, though, a couple local residents raised concerns. Harold Medallin owns land on Hammer Slough adjacent to the city property. He said he had no objection to the project overall. However, he did object to the way it was situated on the site. Part of the footprint is on top of a platted right-of-way that Medallin said he needed to access his property. Medallin said he had known for a couple of years that the library is going to be located on that block, but he originally thought the right-of-way wouldn't be affected.
I talked to the planning director, and I said, is it the block, or are you including the right-of-ways of the street? He said, just the block. So I was busy, I couldn't go to the meeting, and it's been my assumption that this library was going to be on the actual block, because both myself and Mr. Thompson, who's right uphill from me, depend on that Ira 2nd Street right-of-way.
This was the first time this particular issue's come up at one of the meetings. Librarian Tara Alcock said Medallin had raised an important point, and they would discuss it with the city's community development director. As far as the design itself, another local resident, Peter Schultz, did not find it very exciting. He said the layout should be more open and the windows should be bigger.
I would love to see, because it is a setting of our library, I would like to see down to Blind Slough. I would like it to be open. I would like the south side of our library to have an open, from ceiling down to the floor, open window to see out. Because our library is not a dungeon. It's an open space where people read and think and develop their minds.
In selecting this particular design, according to Volkers, the building committee liked the intimacy and warmth. He also pointed to the windows on the south side of the building overlooking the slough.
And your view from here, you actually are above and looking down to the slough. And so that really does frame the view, looking with the trees and through the trees, sitting here with a book.
Another element that came into play for the committee was cost, according to committee chair Mary Ellen Anderson.
Huge factor, because the ones that we dreamed of when we put all those ideas in, it came out as very expensive. And we knew that we were working with a limited budget and a very conservative, fiscally conservative community, and we were trying to scale it so that it would be acceptable financially to the community. That was our huge concern. Maybe that was an inappropriate concern, but that's what we're working with. We have a small budget.
Considering cost as well as energy efficiency, committee member Brian Pounce was satisfied with the window design.
A person coming in there will be attracted to the light, and it's kind of like design of a supermarket, for heaven's sake. You want to get people down all the way to the stacks and to the light. And so I really didn't object to this design.
The latest cost estimate is still in the works, but last November the price tag was at $6.2 million. The committee's hoping to secure half of that from a new legislative grant program next year, with a 20% match from the city and the remainder in private foundation grants and donations. Local resident Polly Lee donated her family's adjacent land on Hammerslough to add more green space behind the library. Considering the computer renderings Tuesday night, Lee suggested the rear of the building needed to be more inspiring.
It looks kind of too utilitarian to be inspiring.
Okay.
Do you see what I mean?
I think there's still plenty of room for study on glass and it's the sort of the details of how that's
finalized. Well, then the windows
finalized.
Could be match the ceiling, the roof peak in some way, or I don't know, but just...
Well, it's a little hard to say, and I should have brought some more renderings, but at the ends of the building where you do have peaked roofs, both meeting rooms have glass that goes all the way up to a pitched ceiling.
Lee also suggested a bit more green space to break up the parking lot if possible, but she liked the overall layout of the building.
I think the layout on the property with the drive-in and the walkway coming the way you've got them designed is very graceful and very practical, in my view.
The library will be extremely energy efficient, according to architect Volkers, who said it would be Petersburg's most insulated building. As the project progresses, neighboring resident Laurel McCullough asked the committee to keep her and others who live on nearby Birch Street in mind.
And those of us that live in that neighborhood would like to remind you that there are people that live down there, and we would really appreciate you taking it into consideration to minimize the impact that this project will have on our neighborhood.
According to McCullough, neighborhood residents wanted to make sure the building's outside lights didn't shine down on their homes. Some are also concerned about the possibility of a path or park between Birch Street and the library. The wooded area there already attracts some late-night clandestine partiers, and McCullough said neighborhood residents didn't want it to get any worse. There will be lots more time to work out some of these issues. Library and city officials expect it will take at least the next year to secure enough project funding to build the library. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.